We all have some oopsie poopsies in our past, I think.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to the A to Z Horrorcast. This is a podcast. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me is Jake.
It can't hurt you if you don't believe, Jack.
Sitting next to Jake is someone else who wants to know what kind of vegetable you want to be. It's Mark.
We're still creatively titled, right?
Is that, yeah, is right? that the Does best that we change? Can do?
What's changing? I,
but what are we, if we're...
We've lost our creativity is what's happened.
Well, I mean, that happened a long time.
The creatively titled joke was based on it being from AtoZHorror.com.
Say more about that.
Yeah, and so now that intro might have sounded different, and that's because we're changing some stuff up. There have been some life changes for some of us. Jake, you're a father now.
Oh, yeah. That is, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We are finding it harder and harder to record, so we're making it just a couple of little changes. We used to watch and review one horror movie for a while every week, and then recently not every week, and had a Patreon. And now we're going to do, what, bi-weekly releases and no Patreon.
We're flipping the switch to easy mode, so we can still bring you content, some content.
Until things settle down. Honestly, this could represent a return to a much more regularly scheduled podcast.
That's true.
Likely will.
Mark's always the voice of optimism. That's true.
The real news here is we're gonna suspend the Patreon for now. We'll still everybody. Promise to do your best to continue to donate to Feeding America and Planned Parenthood on your own time. And
Patreon members, you know about this because we've put a post up before this releases, but thank you very much for your support, and everything we've made up to this point will be going to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and the upshot of that, all of your contributions will still be going to Planned Parenthood for the year, and the upshot of that is that our heretofore only available to the top level patrons podcast, the A to Z HPCP FPP.
Name not changing.
Will now probably be trickling into the regular podcast feed, just so everybody has access to all the content that we've created through the years. And then we'll probably just continue to make that, I guess, as time allows, not making any commitments or guarantees on that front. But.
Yeah, but other than that, podcast is still going to be the same drunk idiots talking about the same dumb stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I like the way you put it. Now we're just playing on easy mode for a little while.
Yeah.
I like the way video games do that now, where like if you played like the first two levels on very hard and you're like, no, this sucks. I can't do this. And then you can just take, you know what? Turn it to story mode.
I like the ones that ask you. They're like, you've died a few
that's
times.
That's so condescending.
Are you sure?
Like, you want to turn on easy mode?
After you've died like 100 times to the same
you
boss.
You sure about
like,
that?
Just so you know, there is a slider that you can slide. Just slide to the left. Just slide it to the left.
Anyway.
Really aggressive eye contact with you.
About the Patreon, this week's pick, or I guess Fortnite's pick, is 1999's The Bone Collector that we're going to be talking about, which was a pick from Patreon member Leslie. So Leslie, thank you very much for that.
Stop.
Jack, what movie did you watch?
The Angelina Jolie Bone Collector.
Oh my.
Oh no.
God. I thought I watched the wrong movie.
No.
Oh, what? I was so
Jack.
Scared.
I went to the thing. There was no indication.
I'm going to open a different beer just in case we don't end up recording.
Oh, it does say the skeleton key, doesn't
it? It's the skeleton key.
I watched The Bone Collector.
Have you seen the skeleton key?
Let me go ahead and pop a quick Google on it.
We're not recording.
Oh,
we're not
God.
Recording. We tried.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. I fucked up pretty bad. I did watch 1999's The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie and Ed O'Neill.
Great movie. Great movie.
I'm
kind of jealous.
My thoughts on that movie. But that is not what we were supposed to watch. That's not what Patreon member Leslie picked. We were supposed to watch, and you two did watch, 2005's The Skeleton Key.
Yes.
Yeah.
You scared me, man.
I
haven't been sleeping.
I was pretty confident, too.
I get the transposition. Skeleton key, bone collector.
I get skeleton and bone. I don't
They're
get collector
They're also just like
kind
of early 2000s,
key
late
collectors.
90s thrillers, but I was upset
are
how
there
not
money.
Horror the bone collector was. So
it's a good, we don't do enough of those like serial killer movies. It's like very much in the same vein as like a Seven or Maybe
he's gonna tell us about it.
Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, stay tuned for our freaking What's Been Rocking Our Horror Worlds.
Anyway, so we watched 2005's The Skeleton Key. Some of us did. I have seen that before, though, so then we'll figure that out. But listener, things are hard now. We have finding it hard to find times to record, so we're just gonna plow ahead.
The only way out is through.
The only way out is through. So let's do Beers for Fears. And I'll go first. My beer is for the Bone Collector.
Yeah, I hope you did a bone themed beer because that's the only saving grace here.
I didn't do a bone themed beer. I have a Laurel Compass Ale from Honolulu Beer Works, which is about following your compass and your inner instincts, and that's pretty much what the whole Bone Collector is about. It's why Denzel Washington picks Angelina Jolie off the street to help him with his forensic police work. It's all about your internal compass and your moral voice.
It's not because he's just picking the hot cop to hang out with?
It doesn't appear to be,
okay.
No.
Just checking.
That's one read.
It's because he picked the cop that thought to bring one of the, like, 90s paper disposable cameras to a crime scene with her.
That's... I need to watch that movie, man. This sounds wild.
I have a lot to say about the Bone Collector.
Can we pause? Or should this actually be about the Bone Collector?
It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Oh, that's the other issue. Ours is a half hour shorter than that, I think.
God damn it.
Yeah, it was like an hour 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there any way that Laurel Compass Ale fits in with Laurel, a dry hopped with Laurel hops,
well,
fits into...
You know what? If you get lost in the bayou, you might want a compass. I don't know how Laurel works in there, but...
It's just the kind of hops. And it's like a play on moral compass.
No. She's following her moral compass when she's trying to help Ben escape from the house that he's in. Sass is very lorality driven, actually. It's a great pick, Jack. You fucking nailed it. I am going absolutely switch the name of these two movies now. And like just throughout the rest of this episode.
I genuinely don't know why they occupy the exact same spot in my head, but they clearly, I mean, provably do.
They are 100% different movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, how about you? For these fears.
I'm drinking a Hoodoo Ranger Experimental IPA.
A Voodoo Ranger?
As a matter of fact, Jake, look at that.
They made it. Fuck you.
Hoodoo Ranger.
Did they make a hoodoo?
He put a tape on it.
I put tape on it. I wrote an H. It's a Hoodoo Ranger.
And I take it that this movie makes the distinguishment between voodoo and hoodoo.
Oh, yeah. There's a wonderful exposition scene of Kate Hudson talking to her black friend who was raised in like the culture of voodoo and hoodoo is like explaining the intricacies and the differences between the two.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The other piece here is experimental. A lot of this movie revolves around an experimental hoodoo ritual of sacrifice, to trade places with people. Now I'm in a weird spot cause I don't want to spoil the movie for Jack, even though I'm positive he's not going to watch
it. Don't watch it.
Oh, do watch it.
Can I do mine now?
Can
I do mine now?
It's a good movie. Yeah, do yours.
So I did notice that I have my side beers are Dead Guy, and there's like a full-on skeleton is the logo of Dead Guy beer. Yeah. But the one that I chose was Sippin' Lemonade Sour from Odell Brewing. I mean, this is on a plantation in the bayou. You drink like iced tea or lemonade and hang out. And what do? You visit? Is that what they would call it?
Porch in a rocking chair,
yeah, something
play
like
a washboard.
That. It's that style.
We're painting the South in a very particular way.
Yeah, fuck them. it's that style of living, right? But
bless your heart.
I think another angle on this that is totally valid is sometimes you just have beers in your fridge that you need to get the fuck out of there. Like sometimes you just have movies on your list that you just gotta fucking watch and get through. That's one of these.
They've reached the end of their life, and you just gotta.
Yeah.
Consume it. You know?
Yeah. You
got to empty that vessel.
Yep. Yep.
Makes
exactly.
A lot of sense.
So my beer is Sippin' Lemonade, but I will say that I'm also drinking beers that have skeletons on them.
Hell yeah. Or bones, some people say.
Some people do say that. They are made of bones. It's their money.
Collected. Okay. Now, boys, watching a movie and drinking beers is the only thing we've done. It's been a long time since we recorded is the other thing.
We did a hiatus.
The course of the last... Yeah, took a quick recess.
Feels like 2 days to me.
But why don't we talk about what else has been rocking our horror world, starting with Jake?
I have two movies. I have watched two movies. They're both from this year. Remind me if one of you guys, or both of you, had watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I hadn't seen it yet.
I have.
Yeah, it's so fucking bad, right?
It's unconscionably bad.
The The credit that
That's
I will...
That's the point.
Okay, I watched this on... Both of the movies I'm going to discuss today are Amazon Prime rentals. It is the point, Jack, but we've made this distinguished
yeah.
based
they
on
They tried
this
to make
thing.
A bad movie. They succeeded. It's yeah. still a bad movie.
Exactly. And it's... For a moment, I was like, is this going... Like, is it just... Are people panning it too much? Like, is this so bad
no.
it's good? No, it's so bad it's bad. Like, it's just... Even the elements that you could give a little bit of a pass because it's, like, low budget and campy and, like, all that shit are, like, done so poorly and lazily that it really is almost worthless. The credit that I will give it is at the very beginning, like, the setup that it gives, there's a little bit of that dark fantasy kind of wonderment going on with the older Christopher Robin character, but you pick up all of that in the trailer. It's like they tried a little bit to make the trailer, and then no effort was spent on the rest of the movie whatsoever. Like, it's a really, really tough watch, and there's nothing going for it outside of what I already mentioned, and maybe a tiny morsel of credit to some of the practical gore. They spent a little bit of time there. A little.
What they get credit for is how quickly this came out after Winnie the Pooh entered the public domain. That's the only
yes.
thing they get credit for.
Hey, man, you got to act
production
fast.
Speed.
You got to act fast.
Yeah, they shot it 100% before it was
well,
in the
yeah,
public
yeah,
domain.
I was just
going to
say, like,
it,
legal
like,
question.
It...
Couldn't they have just made... They could have spent as much time as they wanted and then just held off, right?
Yeah, but I think, I mean...
Does this strike you as a movie that they, like, really put a lot
no,
of time...
No!
Okay.
No! They were like, it's in public domain. I need to have something out in literally a month.
Yeah, they learned...
Yeah, they've had...
They learned it was coming... Like, when that big story about how, like, Winnie the Pooh's going to be public domain in a month, that's when they learned about it, too, and they're like, let's start making a movie.
The only
No,
thing,
okay, so 100% were, all of this is wrong.
Yeah,
because there's been rumblings of this movie
totally.
Happening for a long
I
time.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
They were planning on it for a while. Because it takes a long time. Making movies is hard. Even if they
Turns
are bad
out.
Movies, it's still hard to make them.
They did release the poster like well before
it's,
it was public domain, which the legality of that confuses me, but I'm not a copyright lawyer, so.
It's been a thing. Whatever. Like, to me, this is one that
just
they...
Just released it as WP Blood and Honey, you know?
They set out to make a bad movie, and it ended up being a bad movie with... Like, you have to toe that line. I think the difficulty factor is in towing the line of, like, endearingly bad, and it wasn't that. It just missed the mark.
It's just not fun.
It's just
soulless.
Stupid. Yeah, it's just like they. And I think the perfect example is the characters themselves. Like, there needed to be a little bit more care given to, like, the Pooh character rather than just like a latex mask.
Do I need to watch it
person.
At all? Do
no.
I need to, okay.
No,
no.
You don't.
Okay.
You don't need
no,
to watch
no, no,
it.
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought I was going to get a little more out of it than I did, even knowing that it was bad. So that's the first one that I watched. The other one that I watched.
Did you watch that with your daughter? What was your daughter's first horror movie?
Ooh,
I mean, one of these two, right?
Yeah. I don't think. I mean, I
maybe nothing yet.
Maybe nothing yet.
Okay.
I don't know that I would. She's probably asleep during both of these. She's present.
Okay.
She was in the house. So
okay, whatever. Keep talking. Do your next thing.
The Tank. Have you guys heard of this one?
2023. So
not the one that's like Tank 437 or whatever,
the
where
tank.
It's like set within a tank in World War II, and there's,
no.
like, a zombie inside
no.
of it.
No, so this is a guy who had his, like, estranged mother dies, and he gets left something. That thing happens to be a parcel of land along the coastline, beautiful in, like, the Pacific Northwest, and on that land is a really ramshackle old house that he knew nothing about, right? They go out there, they check it out, there's an offer for, like, really good money to sell it. They just want to see what's there, because he's curious as to why... He knew nothing about this. Also, a little bit of information about his mom without getting into too much spoilers is part of the reason she was estranged is there was some, like, mental health. There were some mental health issues and whatever. She
okay.
was in a home. The movie is a creature feature film.
Sweet.
I will also say this. The name is The Tank. There is a water tank that they discover on the property. They open it up, and there is something in that water tank.
Uh-oh.
So it proceeds to be, like, one of... those types of movies. They're hiding in the
so.
House and being assaulted by this creature. Not bad. Not
when
great.
When did this come out?
I think that IMDb probably tell you 2022, but 2023. It's this year.
It's a this year
been
movie?
Trying. Yeah, I've been trying to look up movies that are, like, listed as reasonably worth watching and has popped up on a couple lists. I think this is a decent movie. I don't know that I would say you need to, like, rush out and watch it before the end of the year. If you're in the mood for, like, a summer creature feature, it's not the worst one that I've ever seen. And I think they do a particularly good job with only showing you what they need of the creature and they do the thing that you should do with a creature feature movie, which is showing you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more over time, the reveal.
Drip feed it to you?
This
looks sick. It does say 2023 on IMDb.
It's a very decent movie. I can't say that it's doing a lot that's unique. That'd be my biggest attraction. And it's at times showing its lack of budget, but it's a more than acceptable watch. If you like,
you said you rented it on Amazon?
This is on Amazon Prime as well.
It's one like of the like $3.99 or $6.99.
I think
rentals.
It's five. I don't know. I think it was $4.99.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it just came out, so whatever. It'll come down by the end of the year. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I want to watch a movie with a monster in it because it's summer, because I need to feel like there are seasons again.
I'm also looking at it right now, and it's $2.99.
It's $2.99.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
There you go.
Solid.
That's what I watched.
I like it, Jake. I've got a few different things to talk about here. First, I watched The Bone Collector.
How's that?
From
How'd 1999. That movie go?
Mark said it's a banger. Is it a banger?
Yes, it's a banger. Shut up,
it's
Jack.
It's
a great
fucking
movie.
Boring.
Oh. Wait, did you watch The Skeleton Key?
No.
Okay. Cool it, mister. You and I, we're in a butt heads.
It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long. It's starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie. Denzel Washington is a paraplegic forensic. I don't think he's a tech, though. I think he's actually a sworn officer.
Isn't he like I remember him being like one of their chief inspector type dudes. Like the chief investigator guy, because
like
he has such
might.
Great insight into all of these crimes or whatever.
Yeah, but he's fully a forensic tech, pretty much.
Okay.
either way, and that's what Angelina Jolie is later on. He recruits her. And then there's a serial killer, and it's really boring. All the kills are pretty boring.
But it's dark and gritty, like in only the way that late 90s...
There's a part of this, it's so dark. There's a part of this where they're rushing to find someone at 3:50 p.m. They say at 4 o'clock the steam pipe's going to go off and kill her. And we have 10 minutes, and they're running down the street, and you can see there's no clouds in the sky, and it's like twilight during a thunderstorm, the lighting. It is so dark for no reason. It is wild.
It's gritty, and it's set in a... Is it New York?
It's set in New York, except Falcons there, and I didn't know New York had Falcons.
I don't either.
There's tall buildings.
It's a fact-checking thing.
Right. I guess I don't know that they don't have Falcons.
I could see it happening.
You thought Falcons was like tall specifically buildings. A Boise thing?
No, I just thought not a very dense urban thing.
Yeah, it seems weird considering what very little I know about Falcons.
Yeah.
How's that?
This is the Falcon cast. Did you
know
that
as
a peregrine
about
falcon
Falcons
can fly over 200 miles an hour during a dive?
Think about how loud that would be for them. It'd be loud.
Oh, I mean, their ears are tucked back.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. They're very aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Hey, I know as much about Falcons as I do about the Skeleton Key, so... That bodes well.
I think you probably know more about the Skeleton Key, bro.
Do you know how fucked it would be if you were just like walking around? Think about this. A falcon's doing a dive to get a pigeon or whatever. And it has like a heart attack in the middle of its dive. It's going 200 miles an hour and then it fucking like blacks out.
Yeah.
How fucked would that be if you're just like walking along, you get hit by a 210 mile an hour like bullet that weighs 10 pounds.
It has little things on its nose.
That absolutely feels like it would kill you.
It has little things
on its
nostril. 10 pounds
going at 200 miles an hour.
It keeps it from
happening. Yeah, it would separate all of the bones from your body.
I do know that. It has
then
little
you could
nostril
collect
things. It has little nostril things. Listen to me. It has little nostril things that keep it from blacking out at those high rates of speed.
See, we do know a lot about falcons.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
The other notable thing about this is Luis Guzman is...
Hell yeah!
He actually is a forensic tech. He is doing the weirdest lisp/accent throughout this.
He does do a lisp in like a surprising amount of his roles.
It's very heavy and very weird in this movie.
Who is this guy? Luis Guzman?
You know Luis Guzman.
Count of Monte Cristo. He had his own show for a while. He's like kind of a comedian, but he's also just a lovable character
that guy actor. Yeah.
Oh, I know this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love Luis Guzman.
The other, I guess I'll just do some of my nitpicks here. The Ed O'Neill at one point, the one of their biggest like.
There's also Ed O'Neill in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God, we got to watch Bone Collector, guys.
Denzel Washington's old partner.
Christ. What a fucking cavalcade of stars.
He tells Angelina Jolie that if you were wound any tighter, you would be a Timex. A watch that since their creation in America have been famously battery powered and not wound at all.
Not at all wound.
That's what Timexes are known for, okay. Is not having to be wound.
Still a pretty good joke.
It doesn't mean anything.
Maybe he's calling her loose.
Ooh. Oh, God. This movie's pretty boring. I rented it on Amazon for $4.99.
Damn, it wasn't even like the base level. It was the extra expensive one for some reason. That's the cost of not paying attention to our group chat or our document that explicitly states what movie we're reviewing.
Another reason I was pretty confident I was watching the right movie was because we also apparently couldn't find the skeleton key for free.
Correct.
So it's like, hey, that checks out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you did have another opportunity.
Yeah. Anyway, apart from that, and that's not really a horror movie also. It's a thriller and not thrilling.
Well, we actually never got around to doing the What Is Horror podcast, so... You know what? We are not qualified to say that, I guess, because we haven't really digested it fully.
It's because that conversation would take 12 hours.
It's true. We all got to get really high first.
I also, Mark, you and I have talked about the horror club we're in, and I watched The
Void. What?
For that. Yeah.
I want to be in
a club. We've offered you a...
You've
you can
never
join anytime.
Invited
literally,
me,
you have the link. You
you've
want to join
me.
It?
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Anyway, I watched The Void.
Weird bit.
This is free on Tubi, and The Void still rules. From 2017, I think.
The Lovecraftian cult thing.
Where they're in a hospital.
Yeah. That movie's great.
This was your pick, specifically for horror.
Yes, it was. We spin a wheel. This was my pick for The Horror Club. And I think it was also my pick when we reviewed it for A to Z Horror.
I don't even think you ever watched my pick, Jack. What the hell is the deal with that?
What was your pick?
It?
I watched it.
Oh, you did?
I chimed in.
Okay.
Yeah. I turned it on this podcast, I think.
You did?
I don't remember.
I haven't edited after midnight yet, so I might.
It has to be on there. Otherwise, you're a real piece of shit.
But The Void rules. It has the problem of it's, obviously incredible, practical, really fun, gets the fuck going. It's great. It has effectively no plot.
Yeah, it's more of like a check out this cool shit type movie.
Delivery
and that's okay. That movie, speaking of the tank earlier... Some of the things that it does well are like a lesser version of what The Void does masterfully, which is works within its budget to not show you too much. The Void is like the example that I would use for that if you're making a small budget movie.
The Void also feels like it shows you a lot. Like they're doing they're so clever.
Totally.
It feels like they're not hiding anything, but they always
are.
They're
hiding so much.
There's so
almost
much
everything.
Strobe in that movie.
It's great.
I haven't watched it yet, Jack. I'm getting to it because I have a deep debt of movies that I still have to catch up on in Horror Club. Are we done talking about The Void? Because I can
done
just,
talking about The Void.
I can just segue directly into the one I just watched for Horror Club.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. So, I have a couple more to talk about, but sure.
Oh. Have you watched The Wolf?
But you go.
Have
you
watched
Mark,
The Wolf House yet? Because I watched
no,
The Wolf House.
No, not any of the horror. Not any horror.
Club. Yeah, The Wolf House. You're going to hate this shit.
I liked it more than Skinamarink.
I knew it. It's not...
Wolf House is fucking wild. Jack, you should watch The Wolf House.
It is an absolute trip.
And then you should read about the Dignified Colony in Chile. Because that's essentially what this is a wild movie. So the biggest problem with this movie is it's entirely in Spanish and German. So it's subtitled. But it's literally impossible to read the subtitles. Because the art that is happening on the screen is 100% too captivating. They're doing stop motion painting with like dolls moving around. Like this might have some of the most disturbing imagery I've seen in a movie.
100%.
Animation has a way of doing that. Like I feel like Bird Boy also kind of had a similar vibe where there was just like so much shit in that movie that was unwatchably disturbing.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Mad God yet, but I think it's a little Mad Godian.
Mad God was sillier.
Okay,
I mean it's cool. Like
it's
what you're seeing on screen.
Lack of anything. Yeah, it's lack of any substance means like you're just like just cool.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of that there.
But it was way closer to that like stupid claymation MTV show from forever ago, where like NSYNC had to fight Backstreet Boys and they'd killed Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Mad God's cool looking, but it's not what Wolf House.
Yeah, this is more ethereal and nightmarish.
Wolf House is way fucking cooler than Mad God.
Whoa,
I think it is.
I haven't seen Wolf House.
It's good.
So I'm just, I liked it.
I'd very much go out on that limb, especially given the context of what it is. Like, Mad God is just Phil Tippett telling a weird story that is in his brain, eating up his brain cells. Wolf House doesn't have a discernible story as you're watching. It's like a weird, like, folklore-y thing. And then as you're digging into it, it sort of presents itself as a fairy tale being told by people within a cult to bring people back to the cult. And it presents itself so much more sinister than it actually is. And that's context that I figured out after the fact, after watching it, because I watched it and I was like, what?
You have to see
what
the whole
thing. Actual fuck did I just do?
You have to see the whole thing.
And I really like that approach. Watch the movie, pay as much attention as you can, but honestly, like, truly, I had a hard time reading the subtitles because I was watching too much of the actual, like, stuff happening on screen. And then after the fact, I kind of dug into the history of Nazism in Chile and, like, what happened after World War II and this, the colony, the dignified colony, whatever that translates to in Spanish. And, like, they were doing torture on behalf of Pinochet and the Chilean government for a long time, and there were, like, expats between Germany and Chile that were moving back. It's crazy shit. You should, I mean, read about it. Wolf House is a weird watch. This is protein watching. It's not something you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, Jack, as someone who liked Skinamarink and as someone who appreciated, at least, I think you liked Mad God, there's zero chance he won't like this.
Okay.
But it's a thing. It's a whole thing.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Don't go in expecting to watch, like, a, you know, Scream 6 type of slasher thing. You know, you need to be there for it.
But you've now been wrecked. You just got wrecked.
Yes. I like it.
That was my contribution from Horror Club.
Yeah. Popcorn Jack.
Nice.
Yeah, popcorn back to Jack.
Me. Two other things, both Shudder things. One is a series that I don't think is a Shudder series. I think it's an AMC series that Shudder picked up the rights to the first season of. A series called Dark Winds. I don't know if either of you guys have heard of this.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
This is a TV show about a tribal police officer in the 1970s investigating a series of murders and strange goings-on.
Does he collect bones?
Guys involved.
Like in
America? What's that?
Like in America?
Does he collect bones?
I think you both talked at the same time, and I could not understand.
Jake, you go first.
Like, in America was my question.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Does he collect bones was my question.
He does not collect bones.
Mark's was much stupider.
No, you're
but also,
stupid.
Yours is stupider.
Okay.
It's starring Zahn McLaren, who you will recognize from any TV show or movie with a tribal police officer in it. He's very likely going to be that tribal police officer. And Noah Emmerich, who you will recognize from any movie or TV show that has a put-upon FBI agent in it. He's very likely that put-upon FBI agent. So I like both of those. But it's actually a really cool series. It's more thrillery and mystery than horror, but there are horror elements, and I really like it. I like Zahn McLaren quite a bit. I recommend it, especially now that it's on Shudder.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Zahn McLaren is from Dr. Sleep. I think that's where I would know him from.
Yeah, people would know him from Longmire as well.
I never watched Longmire. That show was
Longmire's
like stupid
great,
popular, but I never watched it.
It's really good. It's on Netflix now.
Well,
it's
I'm
really
not
good.
On Netflix now, so fuck them.
The other one I watched was a Shudder that just popped up on a recently released 2023 movie called Quicksand. Have either of you guys heard of this?
No, but it's already in my bailiwick. I love this. Is it just about getting stuck in quicksand?
That's is literally it, the whole
is it,
movie.
Is it brought to you by the people who made 48 Meters Down and 48 Meters Up?
It's a lot less tense than those movies.
Damn it!
It is a married couple who are on the path to getting a divorce. They're both medical professionals in the United States. The wife is going to give a lecture in her home country of Colombia, and so they fly down there. The husband is American born, and then they go on a hike and get stuck in quicksand, and that's the movie. Is that
so?
Like
it's them dealing
the movie
with that.
Is them stuck in quicksand?
So does it get like really deep in terms of like them reconciling things about their relationship and like,
a little bit? It's more the tension comes from they do. I give them credit for accurately describing what quicksand really is, which is it can't kill you because once it hits your lungs, you can't go down any further because you're not dense enough. But they're just stuck there. But there are animal predators and people predators that are are fucking with them while they're stuck.
People predators.
What you when you the initially most dangerous brought predator. This up, I thought it could have gone the direction. Do you guys remember? I haven't seen it. I don't
Princess
think any
Bride?
Of us have. Yeah, Princess Bride.
Like that quicksand, man. That'll fuck you
it'll
up.
It'll fuck you up. There was a movie that came out, this has to be like 7-8 years ago now, called Landmine Goes Click.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have either of you seen that?
Yeah.
I thought it might have gone that direction. That doesn't sound like it, which is probably
it's
a good thing.
Not quite that direction, though. It's also not very good. The writing leaves a lot to be desired. They're just not a believable couple. They're not believably getting a divorce. It's not that they hate each other. They just don't have any chemistry whatsoever with one another. I can't say I'd recommend it, but I did watch it. It was 85 minutes, which I liked.
It was a movie.
And it was on Shudder.
What language is this in?
It's in, so I wasn't sure at first because it starts in Spanish, but it is in English.
Weird. I'm Googling this. I pulled it up on IMDb. The trailer has, I'm not watching it with sound, but the subtitles are in like Arabic.
I'm sure it's
not.
Some
of the language spoken in the movie is Spanish because they're in Colombia.
It's definitely not Spanish.
The movie isn't, most of the words spoken in this movie are in English.
Interesting.
And when they're not, they have English subtitles.
Okay.
At least as I watched it. And their mouths were seeming to make the shapes of the words they were saying.
It's probably just sourcing like a weird trailer thing from YouTube.
Yeah.
But
anyway, that's all I've got. Mark, what else you got?
Yeah, that leaves me. I have two more to talk about, the first of which is Evil Dead Rise. I'm not going to really weigh in on that one because I think that's actually the next one on the list. I'm only going to mention it here because, Jack, make eye contact with me, buddy. Evil Dead Rise is the next movie we're reviewing, okay?
Thank you.
A full movie on Evil Dead Rise.
Thanks, bud.
Came out this year.
It's on HBO.
It's on HBO
or Max or whatever.
It's a great movie. I couldn't hold off on.
Yeah, wait. Why are you doing this? This is unprecedented.
When he picked it, I was like, "Fuck! I want to watch that movie soon. We better put that early on the list." So we put it early on the list, and I watched it anyway.
Well, in your defense, we did pick it, I don't know, a month
ago.
Yeah,
that was also like 6 weeks ago, so it's fine. Whatever. We took a hiatus, guys. I'm happy to watch it again. It's a fun roller coaster of an Evil Dead type movie. I might also just throw on Evil Dead 2013 just to get the vibe rolling.
Is it the same director? Fede Alvarez?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't write that down.
Yeah, what the fuck,
that's
Jack?
That's a type of fact that you'll see when we actually do the full review in about 2 weeks. The other movie that I did that I watched was Renfield.
Oh my god!
This is on Peacock. No, sorry, this is on Hulu.
Is this what brought up the Peacock fucking side chat we had?
No, a lot of things bring up the Peacock side chat because
it's such a bad app.
I continue
it's
to be absolutely
bad.
Amazed at how bad
it just doesn't work at all.
And then they lost $1.5 billion last year or whatever.
Although I'll tell you what, Max is giving it a run for its money. HBO app was never great, but when they switched to Max, it's so much worse.
Yeah, Max, the HBO app is the only one I've ever been able to crash simply by just flicking through the South Park seasons. They have so many seasons of South Park that as you're like trying to get the later ones to load, like there must be like a Stack Overflow or something like that, because for a while, if you tried to load any South Park episode after season 24, it would just turn off the app. It'd be
the first one I canceled if I didn't have a pathologic need to watch The Wire or The Sopranos once a year.
Anyways, the movie we're talking about is Renfield, which is on Hulu, not Peacock, and not Max.
Lovely.
Hulu works great. What a wonderful app. Everyone should watch Hulu stuff. So, first thing, if I'm selling this movie to Jack, I'm saying, hey, Jack, there's actually very little Nicolas Cage in this movie.
Also, for the record, Nicolas Cage is good at a particular thing. My hatred for Nicolas Cage is just everyone's obsession with him and him being used incorrectly.
That's probably fair. So if you are softening your stance on Nicolas Cage...
I mean, Pig was my favorite movie of whatever year that movie came out.
So you're very much softening your stance on Nicolas Cage. You might actually be intrigued by this one. It has very much the same energy as what we do in The Shadows.
Nicholas Holt, right? He's hilarious.
Yeah, it's Nicholas Holt. It actually has a amazing cast.
Fucking
amazing cast. I don't know what two words I was trying to combine there, but Nicholas Holt, Nick Cage, Awkwafina is in it, Ben Schwartz is in it, lots of other supporting character actors. really, really fun. Way more gory than I was expecting. Like, not gore, awesome. Not Evil Dead 2013 gory, like cartoonish, stupid action gore. And that's kind of what this movie turns into, is like an action vampire fight scene type thing with the humor of What We Do in the Shadows.
I like that. I feel like we're getting a surge of Dracula stuff recently.
Yeah, because there's another Dracula miniseries thing coming out, right? Isn't there?
And a movie coming out, too.
Or, yeah. I'll tell you
where my brain's been at. I forget what that movie's called, but it's all apparently confined to the boat that's transporting
exactly.
Dracula.
Yeah, we're talking about the same one.
All the old-timey script on that, when it said dropping August, and then what I read as Roman numeral II. And
so August 2nd versus August 11th?
Yeah, and I was Googling around for August 2nd when it was coming out. I was like, why can't I see this? Is it not coming to Honolulu? What the fuck? This looks like a big budget movie. And I like was so frustrated, and I went on a rant about it to Hannah, and she was like, it's coming out August 11th, you idiot.
I mean,
so my brain's good, doing well.
Yeah, we're all firing on all
cylinders.
I know
words, and I've lost track of both words and numbers, apparently.
Just to put a bow on it, Renfield is on Hulu, very low barrier to entry. Super fun
and
movie.
Good. You like it.
Pretty well acted. Has a little bit of that manic energy that like Nick Cage brings to stuff, but he's actually kind of a minor character overall. Soft recommend. If you're looking for like an action horror movie, give that one a spin.
Cool.
Let's go to the feature presentation.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Yay.
Over at AtoZHorror.com this week, some of us.
Over on the A to Z Horror cast this week.
No.
Oh.
Over at AtoZHorror this week, this fortnight, this period of time, some of us watched 2005's The Skeleton Key.
This is flowing pristinely.
Well, then this will help. Cheers.
He's doing a shot, listener. And the shot has been done. And it was a neutral looking spirit. I'm assuming that
it was
vodka.
Vodka. I don't know if you brought the vodka or he brought the vodka, but either way, we were drinking vodka.
Hell yeah. R.I.P. by the way. Jesus.
Yeah, and here's one thing I can tell you is you guys made me watch the trailer for this in the off time, and I have seen this movie before, at least parts of it. I saw this movie in 2005 in the theaters. Why don't you guys tell me about your histories with this movie?
You saw this in theaters?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Was it on a date, Jack?
It was. I got in trouble for necking during this movie, and then I left early so we could continue necking.
I hadn't seen this movie.
You hadn't seen it?
No.
Nice. I think I brought this up a couple times, but in the mid-aughts, we had like a de-scrambler thing for our dish.
Yeah.
So we just got all the pay-per-view channels.
Yeah.
And so this was on that constantly. You could just always watch The Skeleton Key and a few other random movies.
Jesus.
So I watched this a bunch of times. And then
bunch?
And then I hadn't seen it since, I don't know, probably 2006.
I watched this. This was the same woman with whom I saw Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Sorry. I'm just going to interject here for legal reasons. My neighbor had a de-scrambler that I went over to their house and I watched it a bunch of times.
I mean, we.
We didn't have it. We didn't have it. It was a collective we. Yeah,
you hadn't defined we.
Yeah.
It was in the holler and, you know.
Yeah, it was the neighborhood de-scrambler. My parents didn't have it.
Yeah.
So I'd go over there and just watch The Skeleton.
Right.
I saw this with the same person that I saw The Exorcism of Emily Rose in theaters. But that one captivated me such that I did no necking during The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
That's a decent movie. These two do not seem contemporaneous to me.
Mm. Yeah, that seems
it's like actually
right.
A backhanded slight to Jack. Because I assumed
Why?
That was a short-lived relationship. But
I dated her for a while before she realized she was a lesbian and went to prison for selling cocaine.
Let's move on.
Capital High School was a great high school full of winners.
Yep.
We all have some oopsie poopsies in our past, I think.
Everyone does.
Yeah. It's fine.
You haven't lived if you haven't made mistakes.
But Patreon member Leslie picked this movie. So, you know, I can't ask her why, but why?
Yeah, why?
We should have gotten the fucking...
Probably because it's a fucking awesome movie.
We should have
I actually...
The plot synopsis recorded.
We should reach out to her. Probably
can we have her do the plot synopsis then?
Did we? I mean, Mark, you're saying we should. I haven't. And we've already chosen to not delay this episode. So unless she's like checking her Patreon, refreshing her Patreon feed every minute.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the, we're gonna have to do some PI work in the background on why she specifically picked this movie. But we're doing our own 30-second plot synopsis.
But if,
and how do we want to do that, boys?
Well, so
I'll do the first 10 seconds.
I would love. So I think Jake and I'll tag team it. You watch this. Have you already read the plot synopsis, Jack? Just to catch yourself back up. I would love for you to first off give 30 seconds of you recounting the movie.
Okay.
That's what I want to start with that, and then Jake and I will do an actual 30-second plot synopsis.
Okay, here's what I remember about this movie. Is the clock ready?
Yes, it is. Hold on, I have to watch a fucking ad, Jack. No, I don't, because I have a normal native app on my phone that does this.
It's been so long, I forgot you were making fun of me, because I do. All right. Kate Hudson is an urban professional who needs a change in her life, so she wants to take a job in the bayou. She goes and takes a job helping an old man somehow. A woman who I think is Kathy Bates, but probably wasn't Kathy Bates, is the man's wife. She tells Kate Hudson that he needs his remedies, and then there's some tense shots and someone's hurting someone, and then the usher comes by and tells you can't be doing that in the theater.
Okay. Yeah, you got to the end. You did.
That's how the movie ends, I'm aware.
You're escorted from the premises.
Yeah, I think it was an immersive experience.
You're making all of the other patrons very uncomfortable, and you need to leave.
All of the other patrons who went to the Saturday 1:50 p.m. showing of The Skeleton Key in 2000-whatever. Actually, might have been 2006, because this would have been at the Dollar Theater down State Street way.
Oh, nice. Gotta love the Dollar Theater matinee.
Mm-hmm. That hasn't existed for 15 years.
Their Dollar Theater's not exist anymore? There might be probably not. That seems way too low. It'd be like a $5 theater now.
The Discount Theater in Honolulu sells tickets for $12.
Oh, Jesus. That's why I don't go to movie theaters, man.
It's no joke. It's $100. You get a drink to see the movie. You get some popcorn, two tickets. Like, for Hannah and I to go on a date night to see the movies is like $100.
Does that include dinner?
No.
What the fuck?
Fuck no.
Are you getting like a 70mm 4DX thing? Or
that includes... No. It includes an Uber trip one way or the other, either there or back, but not both. It includes one, maybe two drinks each. It includes the tickets and a popcorn.
You got to smuggle
this
more
shit. This is insane.
You got to fill your pockets with beers.
Yeah,
and Coca-Cola.
For sure.
And popcorn. And popcorn.
Without a big pour of wine.
Jake. Are you ready to do the 30-second plot synopsis?
Well, no, because I don't know who's first and who's second.
Then which do you want?
I'll go first. It's fine.
Okay. I'll pick up right at 15 seconds.
Okay, so Caroline's a hospice aide. She moves down to New Orleans or near New Orleans on the swamp or the bayou or whatever. Oh, fuck. And she meets up with a family that needs some help. The guy, his name's Dan, is dying, and she has some run-ins with Violet, who is the ward of the estate, I guess, or his wife. I don't know what the fuck to call her.
They dabble in hoodoo. She finds a thing in their attic that is like a bunch of mirrors and a weird circle of bullshit. They're actually possessed. Not possessed. They are now the vessels of the souls of two black people who were killed on the bayou a long time ago, and they take her life and become her. The end.
You did good work.
There's
thanks.
A lot. There's a lot.
You did
here.
Good work there.
This is a lot
think.
Of story in this
I
movie.
I can't think.
Yeah, you are sleep deprived. It's fine. Maybe you should have done the first 10 seconds. I should have done the second 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have gotten to bayou.
you would have gotten to, she moves to Louisiana or like somewhere close to Louisiana.
I said New Orleans. I mean, give me a little bit.
Okay.
How much of the movie, how much of it is her in her, is she an urban professional looking for a simple life?
No.
That's my memory.
No. She's a hospice nurse at like an established hospital type area. And then she leaves that because it's too like business oriented around when people die. Like the opening scenes is her caring for a guy as he passes away, and then as she's like trying to get in touch with his family for them to take his belongings, the nurses are like, just go throw them in the dumpster, they're not going to come and get any of his
effects. Yeah, she's like in New Jersey, so it's all just like, I mean, there is
no,
an element there, of like,
she's in New Orleans, she's from New Jersey.
Okay, whatever, there is an element of her trying to get out of like the hustle.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. She's disheartened with the like Western medicine aspects and business side of things.
Which,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, so Jack, if you
the
saw
American
this...
The medical system is a disaster.
No shit. If you saw this in 2005, though, I don't blame you for that being something that would stick in your head, I guess.
Okay.
So let's... But we do need to expand this a little.
Not really.
I think... Really?
Mm.
For Jack's benefit, can we do that?
Okay.
Okay, so she takes a job with... she takes a job with this elderly couple. Ben, played by John Hurt, is the guy who's like semi-comatose.
John Hurt?
Yeah, it's John in a fucking weird role for John Hurt.
I mean, yeah, Jack. Come on.
And then his wife is played by Gina Rowlands, not Kathy Bates.
You're sure it's not Kathy Bates?
It's not Kathy Bates. So she's a live-in nurse for Ben, doing like hospice care. And she's beginning to unravel this mystery of, like, the ghosts.
She, Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson is beginning to unravel this mystery of, like, the ghosts that live in the house that have attacked Ben to give him his stroke. And then over time, as she's pulling at this thread, she learns more and more about hoodoo and voodoo and the interplays thereof. And there's this ancient. There's a 200-year-old pair of ghosts. Papa Justify and Mama, I didn't write it down. Justify and something else, right? Cecile? I think was the... Something like that. You look it up in the background, it's fine. So it's a married pair of slaves that lived on this plantation that were doing hoodoo while the kind of in the late stages of slavery, like in the 1850s probably. They ended up getting hanged for teaching the children hoodoo. And the big twist of the movie is that the ritual they were doing was actually to move their souls and minds into the bodies of the children. The children then did that to the people who are Ben and Violet, who now Kate Hudson is helping. And she meets a young, lovely Peter Sarsgaard, who plays Luke. And
lovely?
Is he hot?
Oh, God,
no.
He's hot. I love Peter Sarsgaard. Wait, really? You don't think he's hot?
Because I'll tell you what, Sarsgaard's the Bone Collector.
Sarsgaard's a looker.
He looks weird.
And Angelina Jolie's boyfriend in that is Bobby Cannavale, and he's shirtless in both scenes he's in, and he is so fucking hot in that movie.
So Sarsgaard comes in as like the guy who woos Kate Hudson, and the late reveal, and I really wish you watched this because I would have fucking loved your opinion on how they did this, was that he is now Papa Justify. He is the now fourth body of the guy who taught hoodoo to the kid, whatever. And they're using Kate Hudson's body as a vessel to move Cecile into. And then the end scene is both John Hurt and Gina Reynolds being toted away, having the souls of Kate Hudson's character and Peter Sarsgaard's character in them, while the slaves from the original people are like now young and just continuing the cycle.
Okay, I have a couple questions.
I bet you do.
I want.
How long did that take? Was that 4 minutes? Is that what this needed?
It was some amount of time. I'm not hanging. Not good, right? Don't hang people.
Yeah.
But
Jesus,
from
fuck.
The
what,
description
where is this going?
You
Pick
said,
that. What is the butt going
to
lead
to? The description that you said, the people that were hung were trying to steal and inhabit the bodies of the town children. So there,
no. So
people
well,
that were hung
you don't necessarily,
were not good guys.
You don't necessarily know that. There's a big party going on to celebrate. Fuck if I know.
We're spending more time on this than the movie does, for the record.
Well, not really. It's kind of an important plot point. So because it actually changes drastically once you understand what's happening. The way they spin it is. There's a huge party with all of the important folks of New Orleans. They're all of the like white landed people of New Orleans there. And at the end of the party, a few folks go to like say goodbye to the children. They can't find them. They find them in the attic in like a hidden room where the two kids of this like white plantation owning couple and the two slaves are, and they're performing a hoodoo ritual wherein they are switching bodies. Okay? So the slaves are now the kids and the kids are now the slaves, and when they find that hoodoo ritual happening, all of the white people freak the fuck out and they say, oh, we gotta hang these people for teaching hoodoo to our kids. So they hang the bodies of the two slaves that now have the souls of the children in it. So they hang their own children outside, and then those two kids go on to inherit the plantation that is, so now they are Papa Justify and Mama Cecile. And then they continue to do that, like, land exchange through the next 200, 300 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Yeah, but lynching's still bad.
Well, clearly,
but yeah, just
mean,
to clarify, lynching, this is still an anti-lynching.
Yeah,
podcast.
Just making sure.
Always has been, always
will
be.
The only other quibble I will... I said this, too. It's not on Mark. It's on both of us. This important thing...
Why is it on both of us?
This is in a parish that is... This is southern Louisiana. This is Cajun country. This is... farther south than New Orleans by like a decent margin.
This is in Terrebonne Parish.
Terrebonne Parish.
Yep.
Cajun or Creole country?
Creole.
I only know that because there's specifically, it says...
Yeah, it's Creole.
When she's in the gas station, it says... Yeah. The little subtitle thing says in Creole, whatever.
I have Isaac Toops's cookbook, and the difference for him is very important.
I'm assuming that it would be. I am not smart enough to know
that.
Yeah,
could you elaborate on that for me? Because I haven't been to Louisiana since I was, I don't know, 4.
As I understand it, Cajun is still pretty urban and country, and Creole is not urban, and the cultures are very different, and they mean different things. And for cooking, it's a big deal. Which one's Cajun,
so Creole,
which one's Creole,
is like OG?
Because the way you do different things and your bases and stuff are very different.
So, I mean, then in that case, based off of what you just said, this would certainly be Creole. Because of how podunk and out of the way it is. Is podunk a bad word to use there? I don't mean it in a derogatory way. It's specifically like not urban, not suburban, barely rural. Like,
so
it is the swamps.
Another important point here, we have to move on.
Jake's got to go.
Also,
home.
I flopped him. Creole's the urban one, Cajun's the non-urban one. So I flopped.
Oh, well, then that's weird because that's not what this is. It says he's speaking Creole, and this is supposed to be like way fucking out of the way.
Okay.
So, I don't know. What is
this is not my culture. I don't know any of it. I just know it's a big point in Isaac Toops' cookbook, which I do recommend. Good cookbook.
What does this movie do right, Jake?
I wasn't prepared for that. We're going to have to go back.
Okay, well, here we go. I got one. This is a horror movie podcast. This movie has a great meet-cute in it. It's literally like Ashley Hudson and Peter Sarsgaard run into each other, and he drops
Kate
all of his...
Hudson, right?
I think I've said that a bunch of times. Kate Hudson. She runs into him and he drops all of his files on the patio or wherever the fuck they are. And they're like cleaning them all up and they look up and they look at each other like, oh my gosh, you're kind of cute and you're kind of cute too. And then they like gesture at the old loving couple and she's like, you know, rubbing his shoulder and stuff as she's gardening and like, yeah, that's old love. And they're like making eye contact with each other. We don't get a lot of meet cutes in our horror podcast, and I just like that there's a meet cute here.
Why is that?
Love a
meet
cute
thing. Okay, so the fact that that's the first thing this does right.
The first
is that
okay,
a bad
hold
sign?
On, hold on, hold on. I do it chronologically. You do it by importance. That happens very early in the movie.
My God. I mean, I think there is a level of uniqueness to what we have going on here. I haven't seen many movies that bring
this is a one of a kind
this
movie.
Level of complexity and twist to the table. I'm speaking very specifically about like the what and a little bit less so about the how here. So that's a foreshadowing.
Elaborate on what you mean by that.
I don't know that it's handled in a very clean way or one that I enjoyed watching, but I think that what they are bringing to the table is interesting. And I like the setting itself is a really good one to do something like this in because you
does
are
does it feel like it's set there? Does it feel like you're
yeah,
you're
a sense
so.
Of place the sense of Louisiana? Place is strong. I
that's good.
Yeah, the sense of place is strong. I'm
going to put a
it.
Small caveat on that literally none of us when was the last time either of you two were in anywhere close to like New Orleans?
Like
Justin's
three,
wedding.
Ago?
When was that? 3 years ago?
No, it's longer. Jesus.
But like, were you
I
out,
haven't moved back yet.
Were you out on the bayou at all? Or were you like.
No, that it's not that close to the bayou. It's okay. New Orleans. Like, it's a city.
Exactly my point. Like, And I certainly, I mean, I was out there for a wedding when I was four or five. I think. So there's
my understanding.
The sense
of
place
what
matches
rural...
what I think the sense of place should be, but I don't know how much of that is just me as like a weird Boisean who hasn't been to the South in 20 years.
Sure, but I feel like, I mean, if, unless you're there, obviously you can be worried about the verisimilitude if you're from a place.
He's used like, that word on like four.
I'm gonna ooh it every
consecutive
time.
Podcasts.
It has
now.
So many syllables that it gets.
Like when that Rob Lowe show, The Grinder, came out. And we're like, well, the Boise courthouse is not six fucking stories and made of glass. Fuck off, idiots. But it doesn't mean it doesn't feel like Boise, and the rest of it kind of felt like Boise. Like, I feel like a sense of place doesn't have to be, like, perfectly accurate as long as it feels
right. I'm saying is that the sense of place feels, like, pretty well realized by these three guys who haven't been anywhere close to that spot in a long time. Or ever. Probably ever is the better way to say that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go down to the bayou.
So you could, I'm certain you could nitpick this if you had more specific information than we
do. Sure,
if
you're from there, you'd be like, this is
whatever.
Wrong, this
it
is wrong,
it seems fine to me.
Regardless, I think that what it is bringing to the table, both from a sense of place aspect and the sheer, like, I haven't seen this in other horror movies attitude of it, both of those are commendable. Certainly unique.
Yeah.
Certainly unique.
Absolutely. Oh, if you're wanting to reorganize all of my bullet points for what the movie does,
yeah,
right,
you gotta not go, do it chronologically. Oh my fucking god,
I can't do it chronologically.
Have you always
fine? I'll go by
way.
Importance. The reason this movie is good is
it's a way better way to do it
is because of its story. The story here is really, really solid, like better than I was originally anticipating.
That's surprising.
I thought that this, I mean. I was
and
expecting.
Jake is making a face.
Of course he is. And actually, I fired in really thinking this was going to be a hot take of mine that I was going to have to defend the whole way. I took a bunch of notes. And now I just have a sleep deprived Jake to talk to, and Jack can't
I can't
wait
even
this
go
all.
In that hard on you. Like,
so you're really blowing up my stride here, Jack. But I think they do. This is a really well edited script. From the standpoint of setting up the twist at the end. Now, literally the one thing I remembered about this movie was that at the end, they had switched bodies.
Yeah, there's a body.
So the twist was kind of blown for me when I went back and watched it this time. But it does change. It's one of those movies that changes fully once you've watched it. Because they have a bunch of lines in there. Like Violet asks Caroline if she has any tattoos. And talks about how she doesn't like... how youths always have tattoos, how they're always inked up or whatever.
Drawn up on or whatever.
She comments that Caroline is not as strong as she would have hoped, but prettier. Which is a weird thing to say for a nurse that's like taking care of your husband. But, I mean, I guess sort of makes sense. She asks about Caroline's family situation, is like whether or not she's single or like has what her parents are doing or whatever. And all of that like makes sense in the context of the movie of sort of just like trying to like do a little bit of a get to know you type of thing. But then it's also just like, how much bullshit am I going to have to figure out once we've switched bodies?
Mm-hmm.
The parallel storytelling of like what you think is happening versus what is actually happening in this movie is really, really well realized. I actually think it's an extremely well done script throughout. I think it's tight.
And it sounds like storyboarded, too, from the way it plays out on the screen.
Exactly. I think they really put a lot of attention into this one. And, I mean, I didn't go too far into the lore of it or, like, who wrote it or who it came from. The writer does have a lot of credentials to him. He is credited as, I think, the lead writer on Top Gun Maverick. So that's fun.
A movie everyone loved because of the plot that it had, that there was a lot of.
He was also at the roughly the same time. He was one of the writers on the Americanized version of The Ring. He's done a lot of stuff. Aaron Kruger, whatever. He's a big star now.
The Ring is wild because here's my question. I was going to ask about story. I was going to wait for Jake to talk about what it gets wrong. But here's my memory of this movie.
Okay.
The feeling I had. I don't know why you're offended, Jake, but the feeling I remember from this movie is, you know, the parts of The Ring where nothing exciting is happening and it's just Naomi Watts investigating stuff and like in weird back rooms.
We haven't gotten to what the movie does wrong, Jack.
Well, I know, but you know those parts of The Ring?
Yes, I know. I do know those parts of The Ring.
I remember this movie feeling a lot like that.
Hey, me too.
I don't need paying attention to this. I can just neck during it.
Me too.
Okay, good. Okay. But it's the same writer, you're telling me, Mark.
Yes. And I mean, whatever, we can go slightly out of order here. It was one of the things that I had written within my what the movie does right is this movie is very flat otherwise. The overall arc, great. Like, it's a very subtle and interesting plot. It'd be a great book to read, but, like, they don't do a good job of making this tense at all until the very end.
Thank you. That's, I mean, okay, so now we're in total agreement. This is awkward.
Oh,
like,
no.
There's a lot of interesting shit, but it doesn't land interestingly.
Yeah.
In almost any capacity.
I feel like the funny thing about this movie is I feel like we've seen the exact flip of this a lot, where there's like really good individual scenes that build a lot of tension, and then the overall like arc of the plot is just stupid. And like, what the fuck? Why didn't you just leave
that? That's
the house
actually a really good point, because that, like, I hadn't formulated this well enough, probably because of my sleep deprivation, but the twist at the end, having not seen it before, was like, holy shit, that's like cool, but like, I'm so exhausted from having watched this and not given a fuck the whole time because of how flat it's felt, that like, cool, thumbs up, bye.
Yeah, it's like an absolutely boring movie with a fully devastating twist at the end.
Yeah, so I could see how this would be one of the movies that on repeat viewing might be like way better in a weird way. Gotta reconcile that in my
take
brain.
Take a day or two to process that and get back to
us. I don't know. I'm not going to watch it again, though. I'll tell you that much.
This is also really minor, but the other thing that they do that's super cool is a lot of the scene transitions. They did this more in the first half of the movie than the second half, but I would have liked it if they kept it going. So there's a lot of like story elements around what the skeleton key is. Where she has a physical skeleton key. I guess in this house that was built in, you know, the early 1800s, every door has its own key, except there is a skeleton key given to the owners so they can go everywhere.
The locks all have a fourth pin, and if you hit that one, they'll all open.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's not it's
old
not
timey
tumbler
science. Locks.
Yeah,
yeah.
But every time there's like a tense scene where she's like going to investigate something, she puts the key in the lock and turns it, and they do like this like inside of the door lock mechanism thing as a transition between scenes.
I think it's endearingly
pretty cool.
Dated. I don't know.
It happens three times in the trailer. They're like through the keyhole.
It's
endearing.
That might
the
be
poster.
The amount of times it actually happens.
It's
in the movie, too.
I think it's endearingly dated. Like, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it.
I liked it. Yeah.
I think it's a good. I think it brings a thematic like transition to individual scenes. I like it. I like it. More movies should do that type of shit.
Also, the longer time goes on, the further we are away from anyone knowing what the fuck that shape even is, because that's not what keyholes are anymore.
Yeah. The archetypical
the circle with a
the archetypical key that just has like two teeth on it that are like a weird distance apart,
and the keyhole that's like a circle with
circle
a you know triangle shape trapezoid shape below.
It's like asking people why the save button looks like a floppy disk.
Yeah,
I haven't thought about that. I don't think about that.
Think about it.
Or how the
I don't
ask
need to.
Some
I,
of your
the
long,
thing is I don't
ask
need to.
Ask your younger coworkers what they think the save button is representative.
Oh God.
Of.
Gen Z has no concept of why the phone button on your phone is shaped like that.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know, it's like a wishbone.
It's a banana.
Like, I wish I was talking to someone right now.
They've never used it. Gen Z's never called anyone.
Dude, that's the world I want to be living in.
I like calling people.
I fucking hate it.
It's the easiest way to get anything done. It's like, I think honestly, it's going to be a huge skill in people who are 20 years younger than us.
Phone
like,
conversation.
Hey, are you willing to pick up the phone and call somebody and have a conversation?
Talk to me for 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
we don't have
you're
to have
fucking
30
hired.
Messages about
I
this.
Hate
yes.
It so much.
Oh, you seem like you'll get stuff done. Yes. Come work for me, please. What is this movie?
Very,
middle,
this is a very old person mentality, man.
Shut up, Jake. What is this movie?
It's a very
middle?
Old person mentality. Honestly, in terms of good, I didn't have anything other than the setting and then the concept that we talked about as an umbrella. So if you want to wax poetic about this shit, please.
The only thing I had. Jack has something.
No, he
no,
doesn't.
I was just. Did you not just try to move on to middle? Is that not what you tried?
Yeah, we're
to
in
do?
Middle now.
Oh, we are?
Okay. Then. Yeah, okay. So you weren't listening to what... Okay, Mark, you shouldn't look confused, because what Jake just said was clearly...
I am tired.
I think we're still in Does Right.
I thought we were still in that Does
Right.
Yeah,
but Mark wasn't listening to you, is what I'm saying. The two of you, your interactions, and I'm not in the room with you, but were very confusing to me, because you were not having the same conversation with each other.
I thought we were still in Good.
I need you to lock in, bud.
Yeah, Mark said... Mark said, let's move on to what it does middle. And Jake said, I don't know, I'm out of stuff it does right. Mark, you talk about what else you loved about it.
That is what happened.
And yeah. Mark said, Jake, I
said, Jake, shut up. What does it do middle? And then you said, I don't want to talk to people on the phone.
Yes, that is what I said. I did put the...
Jake does look really youthful, though. He's got the backward baseball cap. He's got a cool, colorful t-shirt on. He looks youthful, and you don't.
I did put the climax and twist in middle because I respect it.
Damn,
but like,
really?
Yeah, but like we already talked about, at the end of the movie, like it's just kind of a thumbs up and I'm out sort of a situation. Pros, it's interesting, it's novel, it's bleak as fuck. Right? Like, that's a hell of a way to go out. You don't see many movies that will do something
triumvirate for story.
I love that. All that's great. It may, like, in most scenarios, I would say that's something that the movie does right. But, like, the fact that I had to sit through, like, such a flat line before that, at least to me, deadened the impact almost entirely.
They're like, you have to sit through all of the scenes of them like interviewing the local color to
yeah. So like, it's it, what it.
Oh, Jack. One thing we haven't talked about: all of the sermons or whatever you'd call them that Papa Justify has, all of his like rites of all.
Is
of,
that that's actually his name, right? That's not a thing you're doing, Papa Justify.
No, that's his actual name. All of his rituals that he's performing are recorded on vinyl. So there's like a. Like vinyl records that they're chasing down throughout.
There's a lot of vinyl in this movie.
Of like him,
and this is like pre the vinyl resurgence.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this was. I mean,
this is OG.
This
like,
is the
vinyl
resurgence
because we
this
have
is
it.
Fucking set. I mean, yeah. When he would have been recording these in like the 1870s.
Yeah, this is like
or
we are doing vinyl because we have
the,
vinyl.
Not the setting, the movie when the movie came out.
This was not to try to sell to move vinyl.
Yeah, I guess come to think of it, original vinyl records were probably like 1890s, so I was off with the original setting of the movie, but whatever.
Also, not what I was talking about, but that's fine.
Well, yeah, but you talking has dislodged information in my head, and now I'm saying it.
It often does.
So they're also just chased, like one of the plot points of this is she has to find the record that has the original Papa Justify recording of this a rite of sacrifice on it so that she can
hoodoo
play it.
Sermon.
Yeah, exactly. So she can play it because she thinks it's a rite of protection in the back. It's convoluted and a very strange prop to just have throughout the. She finds this like people who live behind a gas station or something like that who just have a stack of these like Papa Justify records and she's asking them about, hey, do you have this version? And they're like, oh no, that one's lost of time. Everyone thought that he was trying to figure out how to make himself immortal, but he never finished it before he died. But then she finds
okay.
it.
Okay.
And it's a fucking vinyl record, so she's there. People are just walking around with records.
So, Jack, if you haven't, like, gathered this yet, there's a lot of, like, stuff happening in this movie, but it's, like, to no end.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a big end at the actual end, but it doesn't feel
well,
like anything.
The big end
soul.
Is someone gets a mirror thrown at them. Ooh. We'll talk about that.
The mirrors. Yeah.
What the movie does middle is the weird exposition scene in the of her youthful friend, Kate Hudson's youthful friend, who's Joy Bryant, who plays Jill, explaining the difference between voodoo and hoodoo. Hoodoo, the voodoo that you do so well, it's a spell of hell, makes me want to well shoot. But... the whole scene.
I was waiting for it.
I wanted to do that joke because anytime anyone ever references either voodoo or hoodoo, that's the first thing that pops into my head. But I knew Jake wasn't going to get there.
Such a good fucking song.
But it's like, it's not just like a scene where they're talking and they're like, actually, no, voodoo's like this and hoodoo's like this. It's like an elongated 4 or 5 minute sequence where they then go to, I think, a laundromat, which is where Jill's grandmother buys her hoodoo supplies from, and they are afraid of going in, and then there's just a hard cut to the next day. It's such a fucking weird.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It is a very weird transition, and just reeks of like a 1990s. The more you know type of thing about like actually voodoo and hoodoo are completely different religions.
They are.
Sure.
Pop culture has been unkind to voodoo and just culture. historically. Do you think does it feel like they do a sensitive job covering any actual cultural difference? Does it feel like they had someone who knew what they were talking about in the writer's room?
They did all right.
I don't,
it's not,
right. I can't
answer
that question.
They don't get into the specifics enough. They basically just have a line that says, no, they're not the same, and then they move.
And in 2005,
right,
that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, sure. That's all you need. I was okay with it. They didn't call it voodoo a bunch of times. They just had a thing that was just like, actually, they're different, and we're talking about hoodoo from now on. And then no one ever mentions voodoo again. And I'm drinking a hoodoo ranger, not a voodoo ranger.
Jesus
so,
Christ.
There you go. That's what the movie does middle. Jack, do you have anything?
Nope.
Shocking.
The ushers who worked in this movie were kind of dicks, but doing an important job.
Yeah, no one ever talks about the ushers as the first responder heroes, you know? Like, they're the ones
who are... COVID pandemic relief?
They're the ones who are throwing the necking obnoxious teenagers.
Can we go to bad?
Sure. What does the movie do bad?
The scares aren't good. First and foremost, the scares aren't good.
They really aren't.
They're not good scares.
This movie isn't at all intense until the very end.
And when
are there any jump scares? What kind of scares are there in the movie?
I would say that the movie... Okay, so I'm kind of blending a couple things that I think the movie does wrong here. I think the movie thinks it's doing a good job building tension. I don't think that it does.
I agree. I completely agree with your sentiment.
It
thinks it has jump scares and it doesn't.
Well, I think that and I think that both of those are utilized. Like a jump scare is better done when you've built some equity through the building of tension where there is not a jump scare. It does those things, though not well. And then it also employs jump scares on occasion, and those are also bad.
Yeah, because I keep coming back to The Ring, where like the investigation parts are boring and overlong, but also it does feel like they do pay off.
Yeah, The Ring has
there
awesome
is tension being built, and then the jump scares are also fucking awesome.
So Jack,
The Ring has gut wrenching jump scares in it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
to this
day, God tier.
So the thing about this movie is they're trying to sell it as a ghost story the entire time, like. The probably middle 50% of this movie, the second and third fourths of it,
are mirror-oriented.
Kate Hudson thinking that this house is haunted and the ghosts attacked Ben to give him a stroke. That's before she's like uncovering all of the hoodoo background stuff. So the jump scares... Oh, the one thing we haven't talked about is mirrors.
Yeah, like I just said there's a lot of mirror-orientated stuff.
So as she's like learning the lay of the land when she's hired as this nurse, she finds that there are no mirrors in this house. She's allowed to have a pocket mirror for her own personal use to like put on makeup or whatever the fuck. But like all of the mirrors, like the big wall mirrors and the mirrors in the bathrooms and stuff have been removed and moved up to the attic for reasons that they don't really ever actually get into.
Great.
From a story standpoint, that's probably more of a nitpick than anything else.
Sure.
But the idea here is that the fake story that is told to Caroline by Violet, who's the matriarch of the family,
is Caroline Kate Hudson.
Caroline's Kate Hudson. Is that if you put the mirrors up in the house, you can see the ghosts behind you.
You can see
them walking around the house. So there's a lot of like these mostly at night scenes where like. Caroline's sleeping and like shit's moving around in the house. And I think you come to just realize that that's Violet. That's the matriarch fucking with her. But most of the time you're thinking it's the ghosts doing weird things. It's one of those things that changes completely the second time you watch it. But that's one of the weird convolutions of this movie. Convolvements.
Nailed it. Convolvements.
It's a convolvement.
Perfect.
Is the whole mirror bullshit. What are we talking about? What section are we in?
What does it
do wrong, buddy?
Okay, that tracks.
Yeah.
That tracks, yeah. The mirrors. The mirrors is what it does wrong.
Yeah, the mirrors, the scares, the feeling of tension that it doesn't do.
Okay, so...
Most of the movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
A lot of the way they set up the jump scares, I think, is where we actually were, is what the movie does wrong. It's not... They don't do a good job of realizing the tension until the very, very end. And then it's only once you've seen it that in retrospect, you're like, actually, that was kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like a movie that has like a really cool thing about it. It has like a cool, it has a killer app.
They need
right?
to remake it and just do it better.
Yes, kind of yes.
Have a better director.
It has,
I don't know,
a killer app, but then, and if you look back at it, I mean, I haven't, nor will I, have watched this a second time, so you can elaborate on this, but sounds like there's some cool stuff that is hidden in there.
Yeah.
But I don't give enough of a fuck to
go
through that.
You gotta go through it again.
I don't give enough of a fuck.
It's not scary.
Like, it's
enough.
Not good enough.
What it does wrong is it's not scary enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not interesting enough either.
Here's the other thing it does wrong.
The guy who directed this also directed Hackers from 1995.
Oh, don't forget don't forget K-Pax, dude.
Oh, yeah, K-Pax.
Yeah. I also said also with Angelina Jolie, but again, that's me confusing it with
I like the also, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Kruger, the writer,
yeah.
is now on a fucking like pace to land in the stars. He's done a lot of cool shit. And then Ian Softley, the director,
directed K-Pax.
Did K-Pax and Hackers.
In 2013, he directed a movie called Trap for Cinderella that everyone loved.
Dank. Okay, can we go? What were you going to say?
The other thing this movie does hard wrong is at the climax of the movie, there is a scene where Kate Hudson is driving Ben, John Hurt, around in her Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah.
And it might be the worst stunt coordinated and edited scene. Like,
come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's horrible.
Okay, this is one of the few times I feel like we're reversing. It was.
It
wasn't
good. They could have used a professional stunt coordinator to be like, "How can we actually show this?"
Well, they had no stunts in this movie.
Right.
I guess he threw himself off that.
Yeah, actually,
awning.
They do have a lot of stunts.
Yeah,
in this movie.
There's two.
There's an old man who throws himself off a roof in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a Volkswagen Beetle that tries to drive multiple times through a fucking closed gate. They do a lot of shit.
A lot of shit. Two shits.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do shits twice.
Two shits were given. Okay.
And they didn't hire a stunt coordinator for either of them, and they both are points where it should be way more intense than it is, and it's just like cut, 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 and nothing.
For the record, given his condition, never mind. This is whistle territory.
Oh, whistle territory.
Yeah,
Here we go.
I'm pretty sure he would have been severely injured, if not dead, from the roof thing.
You don't understand how damp the ground is, Jake.
Oh yeah,
it's spongy.
What's actually hilarious is my intake of that whole sequence was as if he had thrown himself off the building and landed in one of those like leaf covered things that had like a.
100%. That's what it was.
But
he fell on a trampoline.
Then it has like a exactly a trampoline. Like why?
Wait, did you honestly not remember the word trampoline?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I honestly did not.
Okay. So, Jack.
It's going to be weeks, Mark.
I mean, 30% of the way through. It's like the first night that she's in charge of taking care of the ailing patriarch of the family, Ben. John
right.
Hurt. He crawls out onto the roof, crawls down the roof like 40 feet, and she's yelling at him in the middle of a rainstorm because, of course, it's a rainstorm because it's dramatic. Like, stay right there. I'm going to come get you. And then this guy who's supposed to be, like, completely paralyzed and unable to talk throws himself off the roof of this plantation 15 feet in the air and then lands in a pile of leaves and then, like, still is crawling away.
Yeah.
Like,
and is okay.
Yeah,
he's okay.
He's totally okay.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it gets better throughout because he's actually outside of the house at that point where, like, all the powers are. So he's like trying to tell her stuff or whatever. They're like going down there and like, are you not injured? Like, what the fuck is happening? And they just bring him back up to his bedroom.
His bones healed somehow.
Yeah, his bones are fine. They did a bone check and all of them were good.
Oh my God. Yeah, that happened in this movie. That was fun.
It's a weird attention to detail thing. They probably should have figured out how to get him onto the main floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Before the roof, that there's other
floors. Before he has to throw himself off of the roof. Actually, and there's another thing about that. So he supposedly had his stroke about a month before.
Right.
This whole interaction occurs. And they have a fucking sick elevator installed in their house.
It is sick. That's a knee pick. The elevator is...
The elevator is sick. The nitpick is, why the fuck do you have a sick-ass elevator installed in your house?
Because
your husband's been ailing
burn?
For like 4 weeks.
Because you have money to burn. Throw it in.
I don't know.
He's on hospice, dude.
Okay. She was Johnny on the spot with getting an elevator, like, contractor
yeah,
into
which
the,
I feel like would take 9 months
exactly.
to accomplish.
Look, it's suspicious.
They live in Terrebonne Parish, Jake. You think you could just find an elevator installation technician?
They grow on trees, Mark.
They must.
On the moss of the willows.
It's the primary source of industry down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Jack, here's the other piece that I really wanted you to weigh in on. This is my nitpick. So, Peter Sarsgaard's character...
God damn it.
...is involved in this whole rigmarole because he's the estate lawyer for the elderly couple.
Oh,
yeah, there's okay. a whole thing.
There's a lot of legal bullshit in this movie.
Oh,
there
damn
are multiple,
it. We could have gone to the legal
there
corner.
There are multiple Law for Dummies books.
That's where we're getting at. So the twist of the movie starts to come into focus when she escapes. She leaves Ben in a shed. Don't worry about that part. And then she rows away in a canoe.
That would be so fucking stupid, dude.
And then she goes to who she thinks is her ally, Luke, Peter Sarsgaard. She goes to his place of residence and goes into his house right as he's getting a call from Violet. And she's like, oh my God, I can't find Ben. And whatever the fuck, Caroline is, I can't find her, whatever. And as he's in the other room taking the call, she's going through his personal effects on his desk. And on his desk, on his like lawyer desk, is a stack of 4 books. And it is essentially just like Basic Law for Dumb Idiots, Volume 1. Estate Law for Beginners, Volume 1. And she's just like, it's like this extended scene where she's just like looking at each of these stupid books as she, like, you've never done law before, but now you need to. What happens now? The textbook.
And Mark, what's spinning on the vinyl, buddy?
Oh.
Hey now, hey now.
Yeah,
hey now,
your grandma hey now. And my grandma sitting by the fire. Yeah.
So, Mark, that actually tracks for me.
Oh, because there are lawyers who are just like, I don't know, I passed the bar 20 years ago and I need to figure this out again.
Yeah, but also if you're just like a family lawyer in a small town, you got to learn how to do everything. And like there's professional treatises on like here's how to do family law when it's like I've never done family law before, but I've hung my shingle and someone needs family law work. That happens a lot. Now it's all digital. It's all on Westlaw.
So you're saying this is normal,
but that seems normal to
me.
Yeah, especially
fuck.
For a small-town family lawyer.
Okay.
Now, if he's a full-time estate lawyer, then that's pretty fucked.
Pretty sure he's a full-time... But... He's supposed to be a full-time estate lawyer. Because, I mean, within the story of the movie, he is a full-time estate lawyer, and then they steal his body. So then...
Gotcha.
Papa Justify has to figure out how to be a lawyer at that point. So he's trying to
I feel
that.
Like the law is very similar to, especially if you're in like general practice litigation or something, is very similar to like IT or even like electrical work, where like oftentimes your first move is just like Google when someone's like, I have this problem. You're like, great, I'm on it. And then they hang up and your first move is just Google. How do I solve this problem? It's just,
hold on. Give me 2 minutes. Clickety, 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 clickety. Have you consulted the local government office?
Pretty much. Like, no, and your skill is knowing what to do with that information and being able to do it better. But,
sure.
Like, it is often, your first move is often just Googling, what? What is this?
Oh, you know what? I'm getting another call. I'm going to call you back in 15 minutes. BRB.
I've actually heard it's common among doctors, too, where, like, if they have something that's slightly uncommon, they just YouTube a video of, like, how to set a bone if they've never set a bone before in the ER.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I feel like that's true of, like, pretty much, I don't know, maybe marketing's different. But
no.
And with engineering,
marketing's all made up, so there's no right answer to anything.
It's all just, what?
with engineering, there's a million things. You're just like, so, how do I run a Steam table in Excel? Like,
yeah. So that checks out to me, that before... The internet was a common tool for lawyers, even though 2005 feels like maybe it should have been.
There's certainly more resources online now, almost 20 years later than what.
And there's a whole, there's,
it's just funny how dramatic that like the dramatic twist of the movie is her looking at his desk and it's like, yeah, Estate Law for Idiots, that orange book that she throws. This, and then there's, it's like 4 of them in a row. It's like the idiots,
well, but
the dummies,
based on what you've told
101.
Me. The estate lawyer, the guy with the training and experience in estate law, is not inhabiting that body.
No, now he's in John Hurt. So they put...
But someone else is in the estate lawyer body.
Yeah, Papa Justify.
So it's Papa Justify trying to learn how to convincingly be an estate lawyer.
Yes, exactly.
It's a neat pick.
And the guy who was the estate lawyer is now in John Hurt's body, who's unable to talk because they keep drugging him every morning.
So it's a neat pick.
Which is what Kate Hudson's been doing. Well, it's a neat pick, except that like the whole fucking twist of the movie rests on these like stupid textbooks sitting on his desk. it's a weird one. For as dramatic as that scene is, because then he just comes in and he like chloroforms her or whatever.
Giacomo Pina. Giacomo Pina.
It's a good song.
Talk about A now.
What? There was another movie that one of the reasons I think Skeleton Key came up, like, I don't know, 15 episodes ago was because there was another movie that had that song in it.
What is the actual name of that song?
I don't know.
Do we know? It's just like, it's so burned into my brain, but I don't even know what the name of the song is.
I don't either.
Classic.
Comes up.
I don't even really know what song you're talking about. I assume it's a reggae song.
No. Quite. Hold on. Scarecrow. It's actually a great point. I don't know where we cut all of that together with, but that song fucking slaps. That's a neat pick. The neat pick about this movie is that's a fucking great song.
Well, another neat pick that's related to that, though, is back to the vinyl thing.
Yeah.
The very first time that vinyl is spun in this movie is fucking OG, like, Robert Johnson. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That
Crossroads?
That's cool. I was like, this is going to be.
I love Robert.
I was like, this is going to be awesome.
This movie has no officially
released albums, two compilations that both have Crossroads in the title.
Yeah.
So yes, okay, if it's Robert Johnson, it's the Crossroads.
they clearly had enough money to do some licensed music work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it costs to get a Robert Johnson thing, man.
Yeah, how do you even?
I don't know.
Jack, legal corner. Who owns Robert Johnson? Other than the
concept, not a person.
Some studio that bilked his family out of money.
Is that a family depressing thing? What does Satan think about that? Because I think technically Satan probably
is fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, Satan lost it to
Johnny
when he went down to Georgia.
Oh.
In the fiddle contest.
Golden Fiddle and Robert Johnson rights.
Robert and the rights to Robert Johnson's original recordings.
Who owns those?
I think Scooter Braun has them now somehow.
Yeah, we got to trace that.
Feels like Scooter at some point. Satan, Scooter Braun, you know, they're in the same league.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Peter Sarsgaard's accent?
I didn't think it was good.
Is it bad? Is it terrible? I truly don't have a good like compass for whether or not it's a good or a bad Southern accent. This movie feels
it has all bad Southern accents.
Too,
like there's going to be a very different accent there. That's not like a Southern accent.
Right.
That's a specific thing. Didn't seem right. What's her name? Fuck.
Violet?
Violet's seemed better.
Yes.
And they are different.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can go off of.
I mean,
but that's also the confusing thing about the South is sometimes like in the same tiny town in Kentucky, like two people have wildly different comedically fake sounding Southern accents, but they're both.
Yeah, but the thing with this is like
one of them grew up on the other side of the river and therefore it's a completely different accent.
These people are all supposed to be from like Bayou though. I don't know how much difference there's going to be. I mean, you either if you're speaking French, which there is a character that does in this movie, that's one thing.
As he's shucking an oyster.
Yeah.
Because, sure, why not? Yeah.
I'd fucking take an oyster from that guy.
Yeah, hey, dude, if you're pulling oysters just out of the fucking your backyard, yeah.
Yeah, and you're asking me if I speak French, I will eat the food that you were serving me.
Absolutely.
In The Bone Collector, Luis Guzman analyzes some powder and says it's definitely from a shellfish, and Denzel Washington says, could it be from an oyster? And Luis Guzman says, yup. And that an oyster is not a shellfish.
I mean.
Yeah, it is.
It's a mollusk.
Oh, God, what is the Venn diagram?
Yeah, wait.
On those.
Hold on.
I have a shellfish allergy, and I am not allergic to clams, mussels, or oysters.
Shellfish is shrimp, prawns,
lobster, crayfish,
crab,
crawdads.
Okay. Yeah.
Seems like it was just chitin. They found chitin.
Jack, can you
eat sand?
Jack, can you eat scallops?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you got the better of it. I would rather be able to eat clams and mussels and scallops than
lobster.
I'll tell you what.
Totally.
I get it's not like deadly. I get full body hives when I eat shellfish. I have done it before for like a crawdad boil.
I just get hives in my lungs.
You don't need an EpiPen when you
no,
shellfish.
No,
they
die.
Help.
Yeah, but you don't need it.
I won't die, but I will be in agony for like 48 hours. So.
Dude, some food's worth it, man.
Yeah, crawfish boil sounds like
for being real itchy. Yeah, especially for a guy with like very severe eczema. So I'm real itchy all the time anyway. Sometimes.
Jesus Christ.
This is fun.
That's a neat pick.
What are we doing?
You know, I'm in a medical textbook.
I thought you couldn't be because you were left-handed or whatever. Oh, yeah. No,
but
your
was
foot.
A sleep study.
Your foot was.
Yeah.
Your foot's in a medical textbook.
It's the foot gross.
So, Jack.
That doctor didn't do anything to help me, but did put me in a textbook.
We're circling the drain on this movie, so there's one last MacGuffin that I wanted to tell you about. Because, believe it or not, there is another MacGuffin that we haven't even brought up yet.
That's pretty hard to believe.
It's fucking absurd.
Brick dust.
I don't want to talk about the brick dust.
The brick dust is a hoodoo thing, according to this movie, where if you put a line of brick dust down, it's sort of like a
salt.
It's like the line of salt that you would see in like any other horror movie.
Oh, that was in the trailer I watched. Yeah.
It's brick dust,
you put
though.
Brick dust down and people who mean you harm can't cross it. So in the climax of the movie, she's like running around with jars, glass jars of brick dust in this house.
Now,
that she's putting down.
Does it have to? What about clay dust? Bricks are made of clay. What about clay dust?
No, no, no.
Does it have to be made into a brick and then turned into
dust? Just bricks. It has to be bricks. It's just brick dust. Don't think too hard about it. And she's putting this down around the entire house. So the final chase scene of Peter Sarsgaard, who's this like looming figure of like, I'm bigger than you. I can wrestle you to the ground and do whatever I want. Is just like
perfect. I assume a perfect impression.
He's like, yeah, I nailed it. He's like coming
Mark
up.
Mark looks more intimidating.
He's
actually.
Like sprinting. He's like sprinting out, and then he hits this like line of brick dust, and she's like, "Oh shit!" And they're
wait. He hits it like a wall, like an invisible wall.
He like just stops. His body just naturally stops running. he's yelling at Gina Reynolds, who. At the filming, this movie is like 60. He's like, oh, I can't come in the back. What do you have eyes on her? What are we doing? So they're like circling the house, trying to like climb in different windows and stuff. And she's just throwing brick dust at things. And then ultimately she like corners herself in the attic. And then someone throws a mirror at her.
Movie.
I'm
Marksman rendition is so much more entertaining than it was.
I want to watch this movie.
So much more entertaining.
Watch a movie Mark's talking
I'm actually
about.
Really upset that you didn't watch it because I really wanted to get your opinion on a bunch of these things.
Oh my god!
The actual nitpick is that earlier in the movie, Violet Gina Reynolds said that she put a circle of brick dust around their entire house as a hoodoo like protection mechanism to keep people out. But also we see that it regularly has torrential rains.
So it got washed away.
So it's like it's gonna be there for like 45 seconds. Yeah. It's gonna be there for like one day, and then it's gonna wash away. And then all the people who mean you harm are gonna come back.
Idiot.
What a stupid way. You're wasting all your brick dust.
Yeah,
it's a finite resource.
Wherever would you get more
you
brick
can't
dust?
Just make more brick
you have
dust.
To find bricks.
You got to get clay, form it into bricks, and then break
That's
it back
a whole
down
thing.
Into dust.
That's a really good one. I forgot. I was not going to bring that up. That's so stupid.
This movie has so many stupid MacGuffins.
I mean,
mirrors, brick
I
dust.
I hope I'm not being insensitive.
Vinyl.
Maybe hoodoo really relies on bricks. I don't fucking know.
It might. That'd be
I'm
a weird thing.
Go ahead and guess no.
I never want to be culturally insensitive, yeah. But if brick dust is
paramount,
does I don't believe in it, and
I think
that's pretty dumb.
Oh, that's the other MacGuffin. You have to believe in the magic.
Yeah, Jack, that was my lead-in. It can't hurt you if you don't believe.
It's yeah, exactly.
I you know what? I blew right past that during the
you
intro.
Thought it was
I didn't
a different
know
movie.
Where that fit into the bone collector at all.
Yep, you're like, I don't remember that. Whatever.
Oh, can we just? This isn't a nitpick or anything, but I just want to tell Jack what the climax of this movie is. She puts it. She puts.
She, we already have done this, haven't we?
She puts it. No. She.
Bro.
Kate Hudson's in the attic. She draws a circle of chalk around herself because she stole a book stole a page out of the hoodoo book that is like the circle of protection. And she's standing there. And then Violet comes up the stairs. She's like, the only thing that protects you from is leaving the circle. And then she throws a mirror at her. And when the mirror hits, they switch bodies.
No notes.
Yeah, it is perfection. No,
perfectly executed. It's great. Let's go to ratings.
Oof.
Here I go again. Girls, yeah. What's my weakness? Okay, then chillin'.
We over at A to Z Horror use the 1-10 rating system to rate the movies we watch. For one, think about Sean Stevens, who rate how much he either feels or fills a hole.
I feel no hole.
And for 10, think about Sean Stevens, who rate how much he feels that he's rectangular.
I am rectangular, and you are a circle. I am rectangular.
Story is the first category to rate these movies. I can't rate it for story, but I would have given it a 3 or a 4.
Oh, okay. No,
thank you for
higher.
Trying. Thank you. For
I would have talked
you.
I would have talked you into higher? Being much higher. You would have come in low, and I would have had a very impassioned monologue about how
I want to know what he
think
he would give it based on our discussion.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm gonna do. And I think I would give it a 3 or 4.
You think it should be much higher? What should it be?
Well, we'll get there.
What do you think I would give it?
I would have talked you up to like a 5.5. You don't get halves. 5.
Correct.
5.
Okay. Okay.
Correct. So he would have talked you up?
I would have talked you up.
No, I don't give halves.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, how about you? What did you actually give it?
7.5.
What would you have given this if you'd watched it, Mark?
If I had watched this movie, I would have given it a 7.5. And I have some pretty good empirical evidence in that regard.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high, and Jake's pretty upset about it.
I'm not upset. I just don't understand.
This is, again, this was going to be the arc of the episode. I was going to be high on it, and you guys were going to be low on it, and I was going to tell you why you're wrong. And now I'm just arguing against a sleep-deprived Jake.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really arguing. I feel like we've agreed on a lot.
This is a exceedingly well-realized story that is not executed.
You told me about, like, 12 different MacGuffins.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stupidity is super well realized.
No. Feels great. Yeah. I think the twist is extremely clever.
I agree.
I think the script is pretty tight, even though it is. I mean, it's an hour 40.
This is a weird. That's a weird statement because I think that can go in a lot of directions.
It's not a great horror script, but the story is really good.
What do you have to say about the flatness of the thing as a whole?
That's going to come up later.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay.
Well,
that's,
actually,
that's
is it? Now that I'm looking at my score, I'm
oh
not sure
my God, is your immersion going to be high? Oh my fucking
my
God.
My immersion's high. You don't need to be scary to be immersive.
Oh, you need to be interested.
I was interested.
Okay.
Said I thought it would be interesting.
Okay. Can I give my rating?
Yeah.
My story rating is 5.5. I gave this one right down the middle on story. I do agree. The climax / the reveal, what this movie has up its sleeve, is, as a first-time viewer, really interesting and novel. I liked it. I think that there was a lot of chaff that should have been sloughed off earlier. But...
Oh, yeah. There's some chaff.
That said, it still did some things that I don't see in every movie we watch. So I want to give it, like, some credit. Therefore, I'm Andy Daltoning it.
That's interesting. Based on how you both described it, I expected you both to be lower on story. Which is going to take us into world building and immersion. And based on what you've told me, if I had seen this movie, I think I would have given it a 3 for world building and immersion. Although maybe higher for the world building. Maybe I wouldn't have given it. Maybe it sounds like there was a sense of place. So maybe I would bump that up to, let's say, 5. Because the world building could have been great. And if it has a real sense of place. But then it's not. It doesn't sound like I would have been immersed in it.
I agree.
And I remember it being boring.
I agree with Jack. I gave it a 7. It's got a pretty good sense of place.
And? Jack. And were you immersed in it?
I was.
Okay, why?
It's not riveting. It's not like a, it's not a roller coaster.
So that's what's keeping it from being a 10.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's not exciting.
No, fuck no! It's not exciting.
It's not good
but
to watch.
But it is captivating. Like it it's an interesting story throughout.
No.
Yeah, the whole arc. So Jack, the other thing we haven't talked about, the other
it's
MacGuffin. There's another MacGuffin.
Not, you're laughing at it. It's not
it's
interesting.
Another MacGuffin. How dare you with that story rating?
The thing that keeps her in. That one of the reasons why I like this is because a lot of these stories just end with like, why don't they just run away?
Yeah.
And they do a lot of work to say that Kate Hudson was really attached to her father, and he died suddenly while she was training to be a nurse and would have liked to have lived with him and helped him in his elderly days, but he died too soon, and they didn't have that like last connection. So now she's perturbed by the fact that the early patient she has that dies in the nursing home, there's no family around, and then when she moves to this guy, she's like, basically equating him to her father, and there's like that sort of dynamic going on. So there's like this whole piece, this emotional resonance to it that's pulling you in. I think the whole movie, a sense of place, good immersion, actually also is still really, really solid, which is why I went that high. It's not exciting. It's not like, it's not edge of your seat action the entire time, but it is a captivating movie.
You find it interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Jake, what did you
I did it? Not find it that interesting. I found it to be a little taxing And then the end.
I didn't find it captivating. I found it taxing.
I found it taxing. And then the end was like, okay, this is kind of cool. But peace out.
Been taxed.
I do think the sense of place was good. I'm basing that off of my I'm not from there sort of thing, so I could be off base. But it felt like a place that is real to me. So that part is good. The immersion side, not so much. I gave it a 4.
Okay. Well, that's going to take us into Scare Factor, and so it sounds like my Scare Factor would have been a 2 or a 1.
Well,
I don't have a good feeling for...
Now, Jeff.
Mark's going to give it like a 7 again.
No, this movie is definitively like below average. I gave it a 5, but I actually would be very interested to know what Jack's thoughts on this were, because what the overall arc of this movie is it's not scary from scene to scene, but the existential horror of this movie is enormous. Where someone is literally stealing your body from you and walking away. And you're like in this stroked out, broken bones husk of a person.
Sure. And, I mean, Get outplayed with that too. That kind of makes sense.
And like literally nothing you can say will ever get you your youth back. Right? You just went from being like a 25-year-old to being an 85-year-old,
you know what?
Stroked out, unable to talk
I
person who's just going to scary. A nursing home. That's horrifying. That's what this movie does.
It is.
Like, that is the reason that this movie should be keep talking about, because the twist is fucking horrifying.
Yeah, it's so much more conceptually horrifying than it is in
Exactly. So, yeah. I gave it a 5. I gave it a less than average score, but the punchline in the movie is way more impactful.
I agree with you, but I think my problem and why I gave it a lower score is that I'm so done with it by the end.
Yeah.
I'm so deadened by the whole slog.
It's hard to care about.
Oh my god, you know, I'm sort of feigning it at the end. I don't know. It's hard.
I don't know. I feel like we've done that with other movies where we were like, the movie itself wasn't great, but the punchline was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is.
I mean,
and Jack has been way more willing to play with that as a scare factor. So I think he would have been higher, frankly.
Okay, I like that. I agree. I based on what you're saying, I agree.
Jake, what'd you actually
probably
give it?
Watch this movie.
Though? I don't know if you said it.
I gave it I actually don't know that I did. I gave it a 2.5.
Okay.
That is going to take us into effects or judicious lack thereof, and I have genuinely no idea.
Fair.
So I'm going to give what I would have given the Bone Collector on effects or judicious lack thereof, which is a 4.
Okay, that's fair. You know what, Jack? That's fair.
Mark?
There's a lot to talk about here, isn't there?
I give this a 6. Yeah, it's not a lot to talk about. It's mostly just like the Rove. It's great sets movie. The only knocks that I had here are the stunts and props department.
Sure.
Overall, I think they did a pretty good job. It's better than average. I don't know.
What props are bad?
The props are fine. It's more like the way the props at the end during the action sequences interact with each other. So it's her beat up Volkswagen Beetle trying to blast through a old rusted gate that's
gotcha
padlocked shut, and she rams it twice and it barely bends. It's really more stunts than anything else, but the sets are great. The mise-en-scene is great. The costumes are solid. The flashbacks are good. Nothing takes you out from the effects side. Nothing takes you out of the actual storytelling.
Yeah, they're all naked in this movie. Whole time.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about the full frontal nudity, Jack.
The whole movie
what?
Is everyone's naked the whole time. That's the last MacGuffin.
It's like Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But sexier.
That's what got me so horned up for Necken.
Did he hang dong?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. What, Jack, Jake, whoever you are.
Who
what's
I?
Yours?
Oh, it's been a long time since you've done that.
I got to do it every once in a while.
Yeah. I truly didn't know what to do with this one, so I gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
It is a very, it's fine sort of movie in this regard. There's not a lot to say.
It's not direction. Effects heavy.
So was The Bone Collector.
Great. Perfect.
That's going to take us into overall, and it sounds like overall I would have given this a 4 or 5. Not a very good movie, but fine, and I wouldn't have liked it very much, it sounds like.
Fair enough. I gave it a 6.5. And honestly, I feel like that's lower than I think I would give this in a total
it's
vacuum.
Lower than I thought you were
going to give it. There's like a weird amount of... I want to bog this down because of how obscure this movie is. I don't want to be the guy...
Doesn't even have Denzel Washington.
I don't want to be the guy who's just the Bone Collector Champion. Sorry, not the Bone Collector. The Skeleton.
I did it. Got him.
The Skeleton Key Champion. I am the Bone Collector Champion, though. I do.
You were already on record. Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy who's just like the Skeleton Key Champion. Like, what a weird fucking movie to stake your claim to.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like there's probably reasons why this is worse than I'm making it out to be, but I feel like this movie's pretty good. This movie's really good. People should watch this movie.
What did you give it?
6.5.
And it's really good?
Yeah.
You sound like Jack.
It's a solid point above average.
It's a great movie. It's a 7.
I'm also talking specifically about how I'm bogging it down because of that.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think this has the legs to go higher.
Okay. Are you done?
Yes.
I gave this a 5. I think that there are very interesting elements to this movie, and I do like what it does at the end. Ultimately, it was just too much of a slog to get there for me, so I'm going to give it slightly lower than average. I just parked this like I did like a conceptual thing. I was like, this is like much better than the shit we put in the bottom tier. Like, much better. It's a little bit boring for me. It's also not that scary, but it has a bit of a banger when it comes to like a bleak
gut
punch ending. It closes hard.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So where do I put that? I think overall for me, it's a little bit, just tiny bit below average, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen by a long shot. There you go.
Okay. Okay. Nice work. To whom the hell would you recommend this then, boys?
Someone who's looking for a deep cut. I think what Mark just said hadn't been brought up, but it's true. Like, this is something that gets mentioned almost never. If you're looking for a deep cut, then...
I couldn't even remember what it was called.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. I guess that's been an undercurrent to this whole episode. An overcurrent.
I feel like this is a type of, like, for people in your life who like the more blockbustery, like, highly produced side of horror.
It is one of those.
But have seen a lot of them. This is a good one to bring up. That's kind of a forgotten classic.
This was notably a theatrical release, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it made a shitload of money.
It did?
It cost $40 million to make, made $98 million or something.
Fuck.
That actually doesn't seem like that big of a success, but sure.
More than double your money is a pretty big fucking success.
I don't know if that's true from a studio standpoint.
I mean, yeah. That's why they're, yeah.
I mean, it's a help.
That's why everything sucks
that was,
now.
That
movies
was an era of horror where I think things were doing, like, notably poorly. So I think that would
People didn't really know how to quantify horror movies or like what to do with them.
I think 2X at that time, I would say, is decent.
It did better than the Bone Collector did.
There you go.
Shocking.
But I think that specific person, the people who like big movies and want horror, but have seen a lot of stuff, like, throw this one at them. There's a treasure trove of movies from this same era that was just like, no one watched this. But it's actually pretty good.
Does it surprise you that the budget was $40 million? That seems very high to me based on
what
you
described. Yes, that does surprise me.
Nothing really surprises me that. Well, I feel like cameras themselves cost like $12 million.
It surprises
me. The Bone Collector costs $70
million. Oh, my God.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like you can do
nothing.
Denzel
Washington and Angelina Jolie at the peak of their careers.
Yeah, I feel like you can do nothing and spend like $35 million.
This is one of those exercises that I really have to think about because...
Well, exactly. You were just frantically nodding at me like that was weird that I said that I don't know, but like this is the thing. I feel like $40 million is a low budget horror movie.
See, and I think the exact opposite.
And then Blumhouse came in roughly around the same time. It was like, we can actually make this shit for like 5. Yeah.
And I like a lot of like pretty small budget shit. And when we're talking pretty small budget in a horror sense, it's like,
I mean, this
we don't
movie,
know what
this
the budget
movie,
was because it was like under 100K.
This movie had a full rain set on it that they used multiple times.
Yes.
This movie had stunt. It definitely had a stunt coordinator.
Fuck them.
They were
but
just
yes.
bad at it. A shitload of sets. Like, they spent a lot of money on this. It's just
did
not
they
in
have
the ways
a shitload of sets, or did they just literally rent an estate?
I don't think you can get these camera angles not on a set.
Okay, fair. That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can just be in an estate and throw a camera in the corner.
I mean, they for sure had to do both, right? Rent the estate and then rebuild it on sound.
Okay, so that's how you get to $40 million.
That's how you get exactly. Yeah. It's super easy to do that if you're just kind of
if you're
going to
rebuild this shit in a studio,
around.
Then yeah, that's expensive. Most. I don't know. A lot of horror movies would not do that. But
now, that because that's the new model, is make everything
cheap.
For a tenth of that old price and make
also
the
Sam Raimi
money.
Model,
but
though.
Like go for impact.
Yes. Yeah. And also figure out how to make jump scares, which this movie didn't do.
Yeah. And on that note,
let's get the fuck out of here.
This has been episode 281 of the A to Z Horrorcast. If you're still here hanging out with us and you like what we got going on, we have at least one link down there in the show description, which is to Super Bear. I certainly fucking hope it's down there at this point. That is the music that you are hearing right now, as I just mentioned. As Jack talked about at the start of the episode, we are moving into a new model. There's been a lot of life changes for really all of us on the podcast. We are going to be putting out episodes roughly fortnightly. The Patreon, that's going away at least for the near future. We'll see if we want to bring that back. And the website, as you already know, is gone. That's a thing of the past. We don't write anymore. That's okay, though, because we have this verbalized content that we bring to you roughly fortnightly. So we're going to keep doing that. And the next one that we're going to be bringing to you is Evil Dead Rise. As I just mentioned, that's going to be coming at you roughly one fortnight from now. We'll see how it goes. Until then, get your beers, grab some buddies, and go watch some horror movies. Have a great fortnight, everyone.
I'm bigger than you. I can wrestle you to the ground and do whatever I want.